So I hope I did not scare anybody away by my email that I sent out, by the goofy title of my message this morning. Somebody commented on it this morning before service, or maybe you saw it in the bulletin. Well, actually, in the bulletin, it just says walking with a limp, and I'm not talking about me, all right? Even though I walk with a limp. The full title was, I was going back and forth, is Every Mom Walks with a Limp. And that's not a reflection of anything physical per se, although some of us do physically. That is a statement of some of the things that you've gone through in your lives as moms. And as with some other things in life, I always say this about the church. The church has been the source of my greatest joy and my greatest pain. And mothering is being a mom. Motherhood, I should say, is like that as well. But the difficult things don't cause you to stop being a mom, right? It's a life calling. And often it is a life calling that is taken for granted. And you know, here's the thing. When you do something and you do it again and again and you do it day in and day out and you're good at it, I know maybe some moms feel, oh, I haven't done the best I could or whatever. Don't go down that road, okay? When you do something every day and you're good at it and you're faithful, people just come to expect it, right? It's kind of taken for granted. A pastor friend of mine, a couple of years ago, I was sitting in his office. We were just talking about stuff, and we were talking. We weren't talking about motherhood. We were talking about pastoring, and he said, you know, when you are pastoring, you pastor for a long time, and such. He used an example. He used a basketball example, and he's kind of a big sports guy, this particular pastor, and he was talking about Michael Jordan. So I mean, we're going back 80s, 90s, right? So, but probably still. At least in the minds of some, maybe there's some debate over that, but maybe the greatest basketball player to ever, be on the court. And he said, you know, day in and day out, game in and game out, he would do the heroics, right? He would make the game-winning shot. And it got to a point where you just expected it, right? And I don't even want to go down this road, but, you know, Tom Brady, and if you want to switch sports a little bit, as much as I hate to admit it, you know, back however many years ago, 10 years ago, if the Bills were up by 6 points with a minute and a half left in the game and the Patriots got the ball and Brady, you know, you're like, you just kind of knew what was going to happen, right? And not in every case, but in many cases. And it's just because they're great players and they do it and they do it day in and day out, week in, week out, whatever, and you just come to expect it. I mean, fans get excited and everybody jumps around and all, but you expect it. But when that guy comes off the bench, right, and he sinks the three-pointer at the buzzer or the backup quarterback leads the team down the field, everybody freaks out because you're just not expecting it from him because, you know, he's not the person that you were used to seeing doing that. So that's the point in all this. I hope I didn't lose you in this goofy analogy. But for mothers, you do it every day and people expect it and often take it for granted. And I guess sadly that's a little bit maybe of our human nature that we just, when you're faithful, when you're reliable, when you come through, when the chips are down, people just expect that that's the way it's always going to be. Because you do it, and you do it all the time, with no time off, people can forget what a special gift it is to be called to be a mother. And that's why days like this are good. Of course, you know, I hope it's not one day out of the year. We understand that. But it's good to just stop and just recognize mothers for what they've done and the sacrifices that they've made, and just to know again that you're a special gift from God. Amen? So I actually was looking at some things I had written last year regarding this, and I went through, and I'm not going to do it, I'm going to touch on it just a little bit today. I went through the scriptures, and I was looking at some notable mothers in the Bible, and there's a lot of them, but I just want to touch on a couple of them. And one of the common threads often, not maybe in every story in the Bible, but it's usually the ones that are highlighted in the scriptures, there's usually something about it that's not in the norm. You know what I'm saying? You know, where the situation is kind of funky in some way or another, right? And there's a lot of those kind of stories in the Bible. And, you know, these women, the struggles that they went through, and in some cases, the pain that they experienced in this high calling of motherhood, and that's and they walk with a limp, quote unquote, you know, spiritually speaking. And so some of the ones I talked about last year, one was Hannah. You know, many of you know the story of Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1, and she was not able to have a child, and yet she wanted one very, very badly. And when God granted her request, what did she do? God granted her request. Samuel was born. She turns around and she gives custody of that baby boy to the high priest, Eli. And she said, Hannah said, I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. We're not just talking ceremonially. We're not just talking about here in front of the church in a baby dedication. She literally, physically gave her child to Eli and to be raised in the temple, because I sense that, you know, her heart was, of course, that she wanted him to serve the Lord. And every Christian mom or dad wants their children to serve the Lord. But man, Hannah just took that to a different level. And I think the scripture says once a year, you know, she would go up to the temple to see him. She'd bring him clothes and stuff like that, right? And I would love to have, you know, kind of read between the lines and see what those meetings were like when they got together once a year. I wonder if she had any stern words for her son, you know, that the things that she didn't feel he was doing right or whatever. I don't know. But, and I don't want to read too much into that. But, you know, it got me thinking too about mothers who give up their children for adoption. And, you know, we just came off the CareNet banquet 3 or 4 weeks ago, whenever that was. And that was the theme this year about adoption. And the bravery and the courage for a mom to do that, the sacrifices, you know, and so what sacrifices are we as parents, as Christian parents, willing to make on behalf of our sons and daughters to fulfill the call of God on their lives? So Hannah's an interesting story, and I'm sure she was doing what she felt God wanted her to do, but I don't think necessarily it was an easy thing for her to do. And then there's that story in 1 Kings. It's in 1 Kings. Do I have it? Yeah, 1 Kings chapter 3. And it's that woman, there's actually two of them, right? In Solomon, in the time of King Solomon. These two women had both given birth to baby boys, and they lived in the same house. And one night, one of the babies, one of the infants died, and the mother of the baby that died, she realizes that her baby died, so she takes her baby and exchanges it, takes the living baby from the mother that's sleeping, puts the dead child in the arms of the other mother, and when morning comes and they wake up, the mother realizes that this baby is dead, and then she looks and that's not my baby, right? Many of you know the story. And so what do you do in a situation like that when they don't have DNA testing? So they take the baby and the mothers to King Solomon. And of course, you know, many of you know the story. He hears the whole story and he says, this is what I'm going to do. Have the living child cut in half. And the mother of the dead child is like, fine. Neither one of us will have a child. But the mother of the living child, you know what she said. She said, Oh, my Lord, give her the living child. By no means kill him. Because she had that maternal instinct, right? She didn't want to see any harm come to her child. And Solomon said, okay, you're the mom. You're the real mom. Jochebed, she was Moses' mother. We read about her story in Exodus chapter 2. Pharaoh, he sees the people of Israel, the Hebrews multiplying. He's afraid that they're going to take over Egypt. So he says, kill all the Hebrew male babies. And Jochebed gives birth to this little baby boy. And she hides him for 3 months, and then that becomes impossible to do. So you know the story, many of you, right? She takes a basket, makes it waterproof, puts it in the reeds of the Nile. And I know that seems reckless, but it wasn't done in a reckless way. It was done in a faith way to honor God and to believe that somehow just by her making that sacrifice and putting this baby in that basket, that somehow God would save that child, because she knew that there was a special call of God on his life. And so think of what she forfeited. You know, I mean, in the long run, she probably saved her son's life, but she had to go through that separation and the difficulties of that. And so all three of those women, Hannah, the woman in Solomon's time, and Jochebed, Moses' mother, you know, you see what they go through and the sacrifices that they make. Even though their circumstances were so vastly different from one another, they made some amazing sacrifices. And we all, you know, every mom here I know has made sacrifices and has gone through things in their lives. And because of that, you kind of, as I say, walk with a limp sometimes. And do I even want to go down the road and talk about Bathsheba for a minute, right? I mean, what a wild story. And why talk about that on Mother's Day? And there's just one particular thing that I wanted to say. The story is found in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 12, chapters 11 and 12. And so Bathsheba's married to a man named Uriah. He is one of David's warriors, one of his soldiers, one of his mighty men. And while he's off at battle, David commits a grievous sin against the Lord and takes Bathsheba to himself. She becomes pregnant with David's child. David, see, it never ever pays off to cover your sin, right? It never pays off to cover your sin. All right? I hope you get that. I hope I get, you know, all of us. So David sets a plot in motion to figure out a way that he can cover this up. And it involved Uriah going into the hottest part of the battle because he was a warrior, he was a soldier, and they were out fighting and all that. And many of you know the story. I'm not going into the details of it. And so Uriah ends up killed in battle, which was really David's intention, which is hideous. I mean, if you wrote this as a script for a soap opera, somebody would say, this is crazy. Nobody's ever going to believe that, right? But this is what happened. God exposes David's sin through Nathan the prophet, and ultimately David repents. The son is born, this little baby boy is born, and the baby dies. I mean, just think about, this is the whole reason I bring this story up. It's a bizarre story, but it's a well-known story from the scriptures. Is there, you know, anybody ever think about the emotions of Bathsheba? Right? I mean, just stop and think about it. I wish, you know, there was something more said in the scriptures about how she handled all this. She loses her husband. Now the at the hands of this, and I assume she understood or came to understand at some point how this had come to be, that it was David's command to Joab in the army to put Uriah in that place and so forth. Now she's with David, and now she gives birth to a baby, and then that baby dies. And then, you know, somehow or another, as dysfunctional and strange as that marriage, if you want to call it that, is, she has another child, and that's King Solomon, becomes Solomon. And you know, and I just, as crazy as that whole story is, I just wonder about how she handled that emotionally. And it's just, I don't know. I hope you're seeing what I'm saying. It just really kind of weighs on me. Like, how did she navigate all this and be a good mom? You know, I mean, she advocated for Solomon, you know, when David was about to die, and what was it, Adonijah? Was that the other son's name that was trying to take the throne away? But God had spoken and said Solomon was going to be the next king. And so she did all this. And so it's kind of an amazing story. And finally, I'll just mention Mary, you know, the mother of Jesus. She holds a unique place in the history of the church and in our faith. And sometimes it's easy to overlook the emotions of her life. When Joseph and Mary brought the baby Jesus into the temple for him to be dedicated according to the law of Moses, Simeon the prophet takes this baby and says in Luke chapter 2, verse 34, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel." And then he goes on and he says this about to Mary, "A sword will pierce through your own soul also." Just a kind of a window into the future and what would happen and what Mary would have to go through. And for as much as Mary, you know, to whatever degree she understood the special plan that God had for Jesus, don't think that that when he was on the cross that she was standing there saying, oh good, he's fulfilling the call of God on his life, right? I mean, that was not what was in her heart. Does that mean I'm done? Is that I am almost done. Anyways. So a lot of people wept that day, but none like Mary, the mother of Jesus. She felt every lash of the whip, she felt every nail strike with the hammer in his hands and his feet, the spear that was thrust through his side. So motherhood, as I said in the beginning, brings some of the greatest joys and the greatest pains of life. And so I just kind of quickly went through a few of those examples. I went into it more last year. But it brings me around, and this is where I want to take this and close with this. And I won't take long. I'm almost done. People look at me kind of, are you serious? Yes, I am. So I want to just kind of zoom out a little bit. And I felt like I not only wanted to talk about moms a little bit today, but I really wanted to zoom out and I wanted to talk about families in general, just families. We all know that families are under attack in our culture. I mean, that's such an understatement. And there's every attempt made to redefine what a family is. And I understand life isn't perfect, and I get all the things that happen, even in the lives of Christians, you know, broken marriages and different things and strained relationships and such that people go through. But God created the family as the absolute bedrock of society. Amen? And dare I say, a mom and a dad living under the same roof with their children. What we call a nuclear family. That's always been God's ideal. You say, oh, Pastor Tim, you know, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. And I want you to hear me out. Don't shut me down. The church is called to love and to embrace and to accept those whose situations aren't ideal. Right? That's who we are. Because we believe in redemption. We believe in miracles. We believe that God can take broken things and make them beautiful. Right? But don't ever do that at the expense of what God's ideal is. Right? That's the thing that we have to be careful. Sometimes in our desire that no one feels like somehow they're not good enough or whatever, we want to show love and acceptance and support no matter what the situation is. If someone comes to Christ and they're you know, things are all messed up, you know, we love and support and encourage, but we can't do it at the cost of the ideal. It's kind of like pro-life ministry. It's kind of like, you know, what happens, I know, every week at CareNet. When moms come in, moms-to-be or families or couples or whatever come in, and a lot of times their situations are a mess, and they're loved and they're accepted and they're encouraged and they're given the tools that they need, you know, to make a choice for life and all that, and because we believe in redemption, we believe that God can restore, even when the circumstances surrounding a pregnancy or the birth of a child are not good, that God loves that mom, God loves that baby, God loves that couple, and he can take, as I said before, that which is broken, and he can make it beautiful. But we have to be careful that we don't do it at the expense of forgetting what the ideal is. I hope that makes sense. I hope that doesn't come across wrong. You know, please don't mishear what I'm saying. This is an encouragement to us in the church, all of us, no matter what your situation is, no matter how good or how tough your situation is, never lose sight of what God's ideal is. No one does it perfectly. That's a given. We all walk with the limp. We've all made more mistakes than we probably could count, but I fear that somehow, because of all of our shortcomings, we're too quick to throw out what God's best is and not strive for that, or not strive for the next generation of our children can live in that. That's ultimately, I guess, where I'm going and what I'm saying. It doesn't matter what struggles you've been through. I mean, you could be the Samaritan woman who had five husbands and was living with the sixth man, right? God can take that, and God can do something with that, and that's the beauty of redemption and the power of our God. And maybe you say, you know, I haven't done a great job as a parent, or I've been through a divorce, or I have strained relationships with my children, or whatever, and I've made so many mistakes, and all that can be true, and all that can be true, and at the same time, you want better, I want better, we all want better for the next generation. And so don't lower the standard to match your mistakes, right? Keep the standard up there. You know, we'll all make our mistakes. We'll all stumble. We'll all, you know, struggle at times. But I want the best for the next generation. We all want that because the family is just being destroyed in our culture. And we in the church, even though there's many, many of us are broken and have made countless mistakes, as I've said again and again, still, we want what's best. And we fight for that generation. We fight for that generation to come. So that's, you know, just some thoughts about moms, some thoughts about the walking with a limp, you know, just some of the things that every mom has gone through, some more or different than others, but everyone would have their stories. But also just to remember to uphold God's standard and his ideal for the family. Even though your situation may not be that, you don't let go of it and you don't lower the standard because we want... I mean, the church has got to, we've got to be the ones that are putting that out there and telling the world, this is what God has. You know, his plan is the best plan, amen? Yeah. Amen. All right, why don't we stand together and we'll close and I'm going to pray and I'm also going to pray for our meal. Oh, please stay. You're going to have a great time. It's going to be a wonderful time together and I hope you'll enjoy this time with us. So, Father, as we close here today, the service. I'm just so grateful for moms, families, dads, everyone, Lord. We're all broken in some ways, and we've all wish we could go back and do things over and all that. I'm sure there's not a person here that wouldn't say that, you know, if I had it to do over, I would do some things differently. But we are where we are, Lord, right now, and we thank you for grace. We thank you for your redeeming power in our lives. And we thank you, God, for just the beauty of family. Yeah, it's a struggle sometimes, and sometimes we want to pull our hair out. But it's worth it. It's worth it to fight for our children, to fight for our families, God, and what your best is for all of us. And God, so we're just grateful for that, and I just... pray that, again, that every mom, every family would just be blessed on this day. It would be a special, special time. And Lord, we pray for our time next door, just as we come together and share a wonderful, amazing meal that's been prepared. And I just pray it's a blessing to every family, every person that's here. And we just give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Have a great day in the Lord.